We are going to continue in Genesis chapter 8. Are you all in? That's the name of the title. If not, get all in. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would move by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would convict or encourage or however you want to put it, those who you've been calling, you've been tugging at them. I pray, Lord God, that they would answer the call that you have upon them. Lord God, you know how to give good things. Everything you give is good. And Father, I pray that they would receive this good gift from you, salvation. Father, your word says if those who are ashamed of you, that you'll be ashamed of them. Those who profess you, you'll profess before your Father. Those who deny you, you'll deny before your Father. Father, help us all to walk closer in obedience. This is an earmark, an Ebenezer stone, if you will, in their life. Something they can look to that's solid, unwavering, unchanging, undeniable. Let them do it for you, not for me. Help me not to convince them. Holy Spirit, I pray that you convict them to walk in obedience to you. And Father, we ask that you bless this message, that it would be powered by your Spirit, and take it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. So in the book of Genesis, remember, it's new beginnings. This would be a new beginning for you. This would be a time where you make a decision to, you know what, Jesus, I'm just going to do it. I don't care anymore about what they think of me. I want to do it. Jesus remembered Noah, remember in chapter 8. And we talked about how it means to mark, to recognize. It's the first time mentioned ever of the word remember. And in the original language, it's zokar. And it's to recognize, to mark. Later on in chapter 8, it speaks about the waters. In fact, they're in verse 1b. And God made the wind to pass over the earth and the waters subsided. This is the time where the waters are starting to recede and come back. And the wind, you know what the word there for wind is? It's breathe. It's a breath, but it's spirit. Whose spirit do you think is breathing upon us? It's the Holy Spirit. When you get so close to Jesus that you can feel his breath. You know, there's times where I say, God, whatever's happening in your life, and you say, Jesus, I need you, just breathe on me. Get so close to him that the Spirit of God is like a breath of fresh air. Remember, there was the raven who went to and fro, and there was the dove who found no rest for her soul. The raven went to and fro, their meat eaters, and as he sent the raven out, the raven never returned, and we spoke of it last week where the raven, there's all these dead pieces of carcass floating around. And they're just picking up the junk that the world has to offer. There's a lot of dead flesh out there. And maybe some of you have been picking at it. And you've been living out there, floating around in something that's dead. It's just dead. There's no fulfillment in it. There's pleasure for a moment, for a time, for a season, but there's no fulfillment. There's no rest for your weary soul. Things of the world don't give you rest. In fact, the wages of sin. What do you have to do to gain a wage? You gotta work. You work at your sin. You plan out your sin. You spend money on your sin. You do everything to go out of your way to sin. It's work. And then we hide our sin. Just like Moses, he buried it. He killed someone, he buried it. And when it comes up, it's uncomfortable. But there's rest for your weary soul in Jesus, in the ark of God. The raven went to and fro, and so are we when we're going from sin to sin. It's just to and fro, back and forth. But there is rest in Christ. And remember, it said that he looked out and he saw, Noah saw the mountaintops. Remember what the ark is? It's a symbol of Jesus, being in Jesus, being saved from the storms of the world. And if you're in Jesus, you will see the mountaintops, I guarantee you. There'll be times where you're going through hard times, but you'll see the mountaintops. And as you go through the hard times, Jesus will take you to the mountaintops. And that's a beautiful thing. That's our Lord. That's why we're all in. Everybody say it. All in. Jesus, I'm all in. And go for it. Don't look back. You can't move forward if you're looking back. You're going to hit something. Keep your eyes on Jesus. So in Genesis chapter 8, verse 15, is when it says, then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. This is the second time that he speaks. Noah found grace, it says earlier in chapter 8. Then Noah walked with God. You've found grace. The very fact that you're here and that whether you've received Jesus or not, God's grace is upon you, that you're alive hearing the gospel message of Jesus Christ unto salvation. And Noah found grace, but then once he received the grace, he started to walk in the grace. Then Noah was obedient. Remember, he made the ark and the window and he got the animals together. He did what God spoke to him to do. Walking means that you're going to have work to do. There is work to do. Being obedient means that you have work to do. You want to work for the wages of sin and reap the fruit or of weeds, or do you want to reap the fruit of the Spirit? It's up to us. What work are we going to partake in? Thus Noah did all according to that, all that God commanded him. So he did. Noah was obedient and God was with him. What do you do when you see someone being obedient? You know, us as grown-ups, when we see kids being obedient, we think, ah, what a good kid. Must have great parents. They must teach him something, you know, or her. But as adults, sometimes you see adults being obedient in Christ and pulling away from the things of the world, pulling away from the old habits, the old mindsets, the old stuff. Or you see them excel and being obedient to their boss at work, and you're like, what is it about him? And you get that impression right away. You see moral purity and you think, I wonder if they're a Christian. Don't you think that? I think that when you see someone walking, just being moral and polite and, you know, opening doors for their wives or the ladies who are walking into the grocery store, and you think, first thing that goes to my head is, why are they doing that? Is there something behind there? Are they one of yours, Lord? And the moral purity that we display, not to flaunt it or anything, but we display is because we love Jesus and we know that we're moved with compassion. You see someone struggling, you reach out to help. That's just the way it is. And here, Noah, he continues to walk with God, and as he's more obedient to God, guess what happens? God speaks to him again. It's interesting to me when people come up to me and say, I can't hear God. I don't know what God wants. I can't hear God. How come God doesn't speak to me? What do you think I think? I know what it is. There's distance between you and God. Something is going on in your life that I don't even want to venture to guess what it is. It doesn't matter to me. But I know there's distance between God. Because if you're immersed, how many of you have been immersed in the water and come up dry? It's impossible. If you're immersed in the water, you're going to come up, you're going to be soaking wet. That's what immersion is. And if you're immersed in the Word of God, you're going to be hearing from God. The Holy Spirit is going to be upon you, with you, in you, working through you. He's going to be speaking to you. He's going to be moving you. He's going to be moving you with compassion to help those who are struggling with their groceries. And as you do that, you're creating a moral purity that people are going to recognize, and they're going to say, something's up with that person. What is it? And you let them know. Don't you be embarrassed. And they say, what is it with you? I see you sometimes every now and then. I've run into you. I don't even know who you are, but you're always opening doors. You're doing this. What is it with you?
I love Jesus.
I'm immersed in Jesus. I'm all in. What do you mean? And it sparks the curiosity in people, and you're able to share your faith with them. And your testimony is speaking volumes. And without saying a word, you're declaring it to those around you. You've heard the saying, you know, proclaim Jesus, and if necessary, use words. Let your life be a living testimony of Jesus Christ. And it says here that God spoke over in 6:13, and now God spoke to Noah. Where is Noah?
He's close to God.
Do you want to hear God's voice? Get close to him. Draw near to him. Well, I pray all the time. Well, maybe you should sit down and not speak and just listen all the time. Maybe you should just read. This is his love letter to you. How many of you have received love letters and you know, you read them or you've read them, and then you read them again? I have cards that my wife, I save cards and my kids give me. I have stacks of them, you know, and I go to my box. I have this big old box in my closet. Pull it out every now and then. And notes where she's left, you know, a little note. God bless you, babe. I love you. So glad you're saved now. You know, next to the coffee she made me, you know, or a napkin or something. And I save stuff like that most of the time. I just like to read it over again. It makes me feel loved.
This is his love letter.
And it's stained with his blood. You know how you women tend to put the lipstick on the card or something, you know, kiss it or whatever. This is Jesus, but it's not lips. It's the purifying, saving blood of Jesus. One drop, one teeny tiny drop, like a period on a paper. It's all you need. And it covers you. So here he is. He's close to God. He's still walking here in verse 15. That's a good thing to do. Noah went out from Christ to a new adventure. And that's what God will do. He'll launch you out there in a new adventure, in a new area. He runs us through the refining fires. He refines us. He equips us to go out from him into a new adventure, into new life. Noah obeyed even after a difficult year, a very trying year. Maybe you've had a trying year. I can't take this stress anymore. He's going to take care of you. He's giving you an opportunity to grow. It's a new life. It says, Noah obeyed even after a difficult year, a very trying time. Think of where he was at. It was a zoo. I mean, can you imagine living for a year in the zoo? Go to the zoo and you'll see all kinds. It's noisy. You know, all the elephants and lions roaring. It's just like, Imagine contained. That's your house. And he's in there. You don't think he kind of says, oh my God, you know, I can't take this anymore. How many times did he say that? But he persevered. There's a word in the Hebrew that's hupomone, means stick-to-itiveness. It's like those guys that wear those Velcro suits and they run and they bounce on a trampoline and they go a somersault and they hit the wall and they stick. That's hupomone. You're stuck there, man. You ain't going to move from there till somebody peels you off. Noah had hupomone. He just, Jesus, I want that. God, I want you. That's what we need in our life. Stick-to-itiveness. You're going to fall. Get up. You know, just get up and stay stuck with Christ. He must have been driven nuts by the animals. Noah builds an altar, we're going to see now. He made it through the difficult year, and it says in verse 17, bring out every living thing of all flesh that is with you, all the birds, the cattle, every creepy thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons, his wife, and his son, there is the obedience again. He said to take them out, they took them out. He said to put them in, he put them in. Every animal, every creepy thing, every bird, and whatever creeped on the earth according to their families went out from the ark. He's being obedient again. He does what God says. Then Noah built an altar. What do you do when you see God move in your life? When you see the miracles of God, be them large or small, but you recognize that God is working in your life. He puts someone in your life and you're disobedient. He says, here's a Christian check to look at. Or you get a phone call from a Christian right when you're going to do something bad. He's working in your life. That's God working in your life. And what do you do? Oh, thank you. He builds an altar and we go before the Lord and we give him praise for what he's brought us through, the storms of life, the difficulties of life, the zoos that we've been in that he's opened the cage and let you out of. He builds an altar of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. What do we offer God? He doesn't want burnt offerings anymore. He loves you. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to hear him. That's how we show our love to him. And the Lord said in his heart, all because of Noah. I'll never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of his heart is evil from the youth. You're going to struggle with your mind. It's going to want to tempt you. It's going to want to drag you away, but don't go. Stand strong. You're his now. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. It never has ceased. Here we are, going from summer into winter, from heat into cold. And next year, if God allows, we'll go through it again. His word is true. I remember as a child hearing the news report saying, and it freaked me out, we're running out of land. There's a population explosion. There's too many people. There's not going to be places to live. And I freaked out. Well, where are we going to live? I remember hearing Too many trees are being cut down for paper and cardboard and whatever. And that's where the oxygen comes from. We're not going to have any oxygen. We're going to run out of oxygen. There's all these people. They want to scare you. Fear mongers. There's always a new fear around the corner. All these fears. And Jesus told us what? Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. Don't let them instill fear in you. You walk securely with your God. You walk close to Jesus. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who has spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Now this is John the Baptist. What was he preaching? Repentance. What am I preaching? Repentance. Repent. Turn away from your sin. 180 degrees. That means in the other direction. Repent of your sin. How do I do that? Well, if you haven't, give your life to Jesus. If you have, well then just turn away from it. Jesus said to the one caught in adultery, just go and sin no more. Well, what else can I do? You can go deeper in Christ. Will that help me with my sin? Oh yeah. Will I'll never sin again? Oh no. You will sin, you will fall. But go deeper into Christ. I so encourage you. Go and be immersed. Just see if Jesus doesn't change you. John himself was clothed in camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. So we see that he was the first one who wore that attire. You'll see styles change all the time. Some of us are stuck in the 60s, some of us in the 70s, the 80s, you know, 90s, 2000. It doesn't matter what you wear. Just give your heart to Jesus. There he was. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him. No thrills, no styles, no gimmick. It's not what he was wearing that drew them there. It's not the way he grew his hair or his beard. It had nothing to do with him. It had nothing to do with production. There's a lot of production I hear in Christianity and all kinds of productions. And I'm not saying it's bad. It just is what it is. There's a lot of productions going on. You know, some move through town and move out. Some do it every week. It doesn't matter. But what are you here for? Are you here to see a production or hear the word of God? Just the word. That's what he's doing. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins, their repentance. That's me. That's me. If you get baptized, that's a good time for you to have solace with Christ, because you'll just be saying, I want to lay this down. I want to lay this down. I want to lay this down. And when they saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, they're there for the show. The religious people, they're just there to check it out. Let's see what it's all about. What's this hippie doing? Who warned you, he says, to flee from the wrath to come? If you really want to be baptized, he says, if you're really here for the baptism, you're not here just to see what I'm doing, to see what God's doing, to see what these people are. You're here as a mitote, you know, a busybody. Just wanting to see, what's going on over there? If that's what you're here for, get out of here. But if you're here seriously to get baptized, is what he's saying in these 7 and 8, he says, then therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Let your walk, don't give me the talk, let me see you walk. Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, oh, well, Abraham is our father. I don't care about that, he said. I don't care about your genealogy or your money or anything else, or that your grandparents were holy. I want to see, are you holy? For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear fruit, what kind of fruit? Fruits worthy of repentance. You're changing who you are. Your purpose seemed to turn away from things, whereas before you didn't. It's going to be cut down. It'll be cut down and thrown into the fire. Point of decision, don't you think? There's a point that we have. We have several points of decision. What are you going to do? He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me, John says, is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. Don't worry about what I think if you get baptized or not, or he says, think about what God thinks. It's a commandment of God. It's an instruction. If you're in me, then be baptized. Turn away from your sin. He says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire burns away junk. You're refined as gold. 7 times it goes into the fire and the impurities rise to the top. It has to be hot in order for the impurities to rise. I've been in fires. And every time, more junk comes out. And more junk comes out. And eventually, we're there with Christ. His winnowing fan is in his hand, you know, feeding the fire. But don't be afraid. He's got you. Remember Daniel and the guys? When they were thrown into the fiery furnace, turned up 7 times higher, and all of a sudden when they opened the door just to get the door open to throw the guys in, those who opened the door were killed from the heat. But not Daniel and his boys. And there wasn't, how many people were in the fire?
4.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego,
and Jesus.
And it's one like the Son of God. How did they know what the Son of God looked like? And there he was. And they came out. Not only were they not burned, but they didn't even smell like smoke. You don't want not the one like, but the Son of God with you in the fires of life? You don't want Jesus with you when you're going through difficulties in your life, when you're going through hardship, when cancer hits or some other crazy disease that the enemy throws your way. You don't want Jesus in your corner? Why didn't you ever take my son? Guys, be all in. It says he's going to gather the wheat to the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee. Then Jesus. I love when it says, then Jesus. Because when you're going through the fire and you're about to break and you're at the brink of losing your mind and you're standing at the edge of the cliff or whatever it may be, or whatever analogy you have, then Jesus. And how many times have I heard stories where people tell me, I was going to kill myself. I was going to do this. And then Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And you're coming to me? Jesus, I love it. He said, permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. He was willing to submit under the hand of man, not just there, but at the cross. And it says, I will submit under you to fulfill the righteousness of my Father. Because the way it's written by him, that's what I want to do. And he allowed him, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. You don't want to be baptized? I don't get it. And it says, immediately came up out of the water, and the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Holy Spirit and God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And Jesus was led up to the hill after that. So we see here what happened when he got baptized. There's Jesus. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three. Right here. There's people who teach that, oh, there's no Trinity. Well, what's happening here? Explain that to me. There's a voice from heaven, from the Father. There's the Holy Spirit, his Spirit descending upon the Son Christ. The Trinity is displayed for us here. And then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the Lord. Does God tempt us? No. The book of James says that no. God is not tempted, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desires conceive, it gives birth to sin, and sin is full blown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. It's not God who's tempting you. The Holy Spirit allows us to go where we'll be tempted because he's going to show you, I'm with you. I am with you. You don't have to fall. I'm with you. Hold on to my hand. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards when he was at his weakest, at the pinnacle of breakdown chemically in the body where a person starts to die and you're at his weakest, the tempter came. And he went to these extremes to show you that your temptation isn't anywhere near this. And if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. You're hungry. 40 days, Jesus. 40 days. 40 nights. No food. Turn it into bread. And every time he attacked him, he came back with the word of God. And he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When you're weak, when you're frail, you're sick, you're hungry, grab onto the word of God. It's not about flesh and blood. It's about feeding your spirit. But nevertheless, your word says. Then the devil took him up to the holy city and to the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself. And it is written, he shall give angels charge over you. He knows scripture so well to misquote it. He didn't fully quote that. And he will use scripture to mess you up, but you know the word of God. You've been baptized by the repentance of sin, by the Holy Spirit, and you read your word, and you know that he's lying here. He says to keep you in all of your ways, not to tempt God. Don't walk into a bar and think, oh, I'm going into a bar. God won't let me stumble. No, you're being foolish. He says when you're thrown into temptation, he'll deliver you, not when you willfully go there. You're going to hit your toes, man. It's going to hurt. And it says, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. Don't say, well, I'm a Christian now. I can go into any club, anything. I can do it all. No, you can't do it. It's for defense, not offensive movement. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And the devil took him up to the exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. What does Satan want from you? He wants you to worship him. Don't do it. How do we worship him? By indulging in the things of the world. Who's giving the kingdoms of the world? Satan. He's the ruler right now, temporarily. Don't fall for that thing. But I'll make a lot of money doing it. Don't do it. It's against the law. Don't degrade yourself. Don't worship Satan. Jesus, if you fall down and worship me, Satan said. Now we know the intent of Satan's heart. And Jesus said to him, vamonos. Out of here, buddy. You're out of here now. This is the way with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And what happened to Satan? Just like they said. Just one look from Jesus. He's gone. Left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. And so they will to you. When you walk through the fires, you will not be burned. When you're hungry, you will not. He will feed you. The angels will minister to you when you're depressed. I suffer with depression. We all suffer with depression. It's human emotion, just like I suffer with happiness. I suffer with joy. They're emotions God has given us so that we don't have to depend on someone else or something else. We have these emotions, which is like a pressure valve on your water heater. You have a pressure valve. If it gets too hot, it relieves the pressure. And God gives us the emotions. You know, you're not having a breakdown. You're dealing with the emotions God has given you to deal with your situation. Man, you can cry. We were taught, don't cry. It was in my 20s when Yvonne first saw me cry. Now all of a sudden I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and Hallmark commercial comes on and I just can't get to God. I'm a little girl and a puppy. What is wrong with you? She would tell me. You know what was going on? It's God. It's okay. He's there for you when you cry. You see your children suffering and I cry for them, you know, especially when they're in stuff. It's okay. See, my wife almost dies. I cried. See, my baby being born. I cried. It's okay. I lose a dog. I'm not real attached to animals, but I was attached to that one. I cried. God has you. Are you all in? Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. Help us to show you by becoming all in. Encourage them, Father. Father, help us just to rejoice. Lord God, let your name be glorified. Let you be lifted up high publicly, Lord God, and the devotion to you that you deserve. Help us to lay it all down, to be all in, to lay it all down and be all in, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen. God bless you guys. Make some smart choices this week.